Hallelujah. God is good. It's good to have God in you. Amen? Good that He's on your side. Did you know God was on your side? Well, I'm not sure. I don't know that I've measured up or done all He said. Well, of course you hadn't. I said, of course you hadn't. That's why you need God. That's why you need God, because you haven't done anything. You haven't measured up. And that's why He came and gave Abraham a promise. How many know Abraham was a long time ago? Amen? So He came and gave Abraham a promise. And then He fulfilled the promise in Jesus. He didn't give the law because Abraham messed up, and so, boy, you guys need some law. How many know that wasn't the plan? The plan wasn't that Abraham messed up, and so, all right, we're going to give you these people a law. That'll fix them. That'll make them do it right. No, the law was only for one purpose, was to just show sin. It was to shine a light on sin, shine a light on a need that was pretty much prevalent, pretty much universal. It's a universal need, amen, is the fact that you need a deliverer. You cannot perform or do anything that God says to do. Now, you can look like it to people. It appears that way. Maybe it appears that you're doing something to people. But God looketh on the heart. So God knows that the only reason you're doing anything is to keep from burning. It's not because it's from your heart. You know, it's because otherwise you're going to get in trouble. But God made Abraham a promise that He was going to make him the father of many nations, that He was going to bless him. He was going to be his God, and we will be his people. How many know that promise is the same promise? That promise is the same promise. The promise given to Abraham is the promise that's given to you through faith because of Christ Jesus. And so be happy, be thankful, and rejoice, because God is always for you. He's not against you. He's not on your case. Amen? He's not on your case. He's not against you. He's all for you, because He loves you. He created you so that He could have a people to fellowship with. Not just a people, but a person like you. You individually, in particular. God loves you. His desire is to have you as His buddy. You as the one He spends time with. We've been looking at the Psalms. Psalms are really a spectacular way in which God demonstrates that same idea. Because God comes through the Psalms to speak to you. God has given you these Psalms to demonstrate to you His personal relationship with you. He has a personal relationship that He wants to have with you. He's not looking for a people as much as persons, as much as you. He individually wants to have a relationship with you. These Psalms really do bring an option and an opportunity for you to enjoy the presence of God personally. Like, for instance, when you're in trouble, you read through the Psalms and you'll find David's in trouble. He'll cry out at the beginning of the Psalm, and by the end of the Psalm, it's like a 30-minute sitcom. It's over. It's like a one-hour drama. Everything's all tied up neatly at the end of the Psalm. Did you know that's true for you? Is everything is tied up neatly because you have a relationship with God. You can rejoice and give thanks and give praise even in the middle of a bad situation. Now, who determines what a bad situation is? Is you're looking at your world. You're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at the people you deal with. You're determined making that determination rather than God making that determination. You belong to the Holy One of Israel. You belong to Jesus Christ. He loves you. Therefore, He is working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. He is speaking to you daily. Well, He's not speaking to me. No, he's speaking daily. But to tune in and to hear what he has to say is to say, okay, I'm going to turn off all the other stuff. I'm going to put aside all the other things that are that I've been dependent upon. Because what happens is we become dependent upon the things in this world to get us by. Anybody know that? I mean, we pretty much got a great safety net going on. We know exactly, you know, how where to go, what to do, how to manage trouble and crisis. We happen to know all these tricks of the trade of how to manage crisis. But God says there's only one way to manage a crisis. Him, His way, which is turn to me, which is come to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So your rest doesn't come from your ability to cope with a situation. Your rest doesn't come from that. Your rest doesn't come from anything that you can perform or you can pull off or you can decide. Your rest comes from that personal relationship you have with Him. We have peace with God because we have been justified by faith. I'll get to that in a minute. Because that's over in Romans chapter 5. The last several times we've been getting together, I've been going through the, in particular, Psalms 120 through 130. And I've encouraged you to read those, and they're pretty small. They're 6 to 8 verses apiece. But they follow a path of declaring and showing the deliverance that God has for His people, the deliverance that God has for you. And if you'll read them and meditate on them, as I have studied it and looked through them, actually, if you'll go back to Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is a powerful, and of course it's 176 verses, the longest psalm and longest chapter in the Bible. In fact, it's so long it's broken up in pieces using in numbering by the Hebrew alphabet. So you can read the Psalms and learn Hebrew all at the same time. But those psalms and those chapters within a chapter really demonstrate the deliverance of the Holy Spirit and the deliverance that God has for His people. He loves to come and tell you what He's done. He loves to come and tell you how He has made provision for you. That's what His Word is all about. His Word is not something for you to do and to perform, but His Word is for you to be able to be indwelt by His Spirit and to know the kingdom of heaven, to know what it is to live in the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is already here.
You mean we're living in heaven?
If you're in Christ Jesus, yeah. You're living in heaven.
Well, you mean, does that mean heaven's not coming? Or
no, Jesus is coming, don't worry. Jesus is coming, but because He sent His Holy Spirit to indwell you, you live with Him, in Him, through Him, and where is He? Seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, praying for you. And so daily, if you wake up and understand that His mercies are new every morning, brand new day, brand new, you just be risen from the dead every morning. And I know everything happened yesterday, and I know things go on from time, you know, things just go on, and they go on, and they go on, and you may encounter that same circumstance that you did when you went to sleep last night. But when you wake up every morning, you are in the presence of God, and you can take advantage of that by giving Him worship, praise, and thanksgiving. As we're reading through these psalms, you know, and let me just kind of review a little bit. Psalm 120. I'm just going to read maybe the first verse or two just quickly and just go through it. Just to give you a demonstration just to show you what I'm talking about. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. Well, there's trouble. And He heard me. When you cry to the Lord, He hears you. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Deliver my soul from that. Well, that's your soul. That's your unrenewed mind. That's the part of you that's still deciding how I'm going to make it. Deliver my soul from lying lips. You thought that was the other people. No, it was you. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Once comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. How many know you're Israel? The Israel of faith. You're the Israel of faith. Amen? Romans chapter 9 tells you, you're of Israel, which is of faith. Not all Israel is Israel. Not all Israel is of faith. But true Israel is the Israel of faith. True Israel is the Israel that believes on the promise of the Lord Jesus. And those who have believed on Jesus are true Israel. The true people of God. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. You mean you can actually go there? You can actually go into the house of the Lord. I can actually go into the house of the Lord this morning, right now. In fact, that's where I am. I'm here. I'm not talking about a building, of course. I'm talking about walking into the presence of God. Because by faith, He has redeemed me and made me, and put me in right standing in His sight. So I'm happy and I'm peaceful. How many with me? How many are happy, peaceful, rejoicing, knowing that God has already made provision for you? You know, I could ask the other question. How many are convinced the other way? You know, God is not for me, or God's against me. Yeah, He's against me. No, He is not against you. He is for you. Even when you screw up, which I do often, He's for me. He is always for you. How many have ever read the Bible before? I mean, just a little bit. One verse, maybe you read one time, once. Maybe you should call on somebody just so you can say you did it once, you know. No, you've read it, and you've read the Bible at least one time, you know, is that He's given you His promises. He's given you His Word. He's given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness in that Word. You have eaten of the seed. If you've ever read the Scripture, you have eaten of the seed of the Word of God. He has put seed on the inside of you. And how many know that when God plants that seed, when God gives seed, that seed bears fruit. God's Word is seed. He said it goes forth and it does not come back void, but it accomplishes that for which it was sent. So I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'm in the house of the Lord. I live there. I dwell there. Did you know that you live there? You dwell there. If you're in Christ Jesus, you live in the house of the Lord. I'm living there right now. You know, he's not asked me to leave. He's not booted me out. He actually likes me for no good reason other than what He did for me, in me, through me, and that I have received it. It's the only thing that God desires is for you to receive what His promise is, receive the promise that He gave to you, which is, I want to bring you into my house. Once we get to Psalm 128 quickly, we're going to talk about that for a moment. So I was glad. Say it, I'm glad. Glad. Oh, it's good to be glad. I'm glad. I was glad when they said to me, come on, let's go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 123, to you I lift up my eyes, O you that dwells in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. He's had mercy upon us. We look to him. He's our hope. I don't have any hope in this world. I don't know about you. Let me dispel you of any idea of having hope in this world. I mean, if you're not already depressed and disappointed, let me disappoint you and depress you further. Is that this world has no hope in it. The end of the world is at hand. You know, I mean, you can listen to CNN if you want to. You know, hey, we're about on the verge of the greatest thing ever. No. This is the Word of God. We don't listen to the Word of men. We don't listen to the promise of men. We listen to the Word of God. Because God has always been faithful. He has always been faithful. He was faithful to give his sacrifice through Christ Jesus, and now he is faithful to live and move on the inside of me and produce good fruit. Not because of something that I've done, but something because of what he's done. Psalm 124 says this, it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, now may Israel say. Remember, you're Israel, right? If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we're escaped. How do you like that? Be like being stuck in a trap that's broken. I pictured a bear stuck in a bear trap. You know, oh, some little squirrel comes by and says, dude, trap's broken. Oh, thanks. The trap is broken. You think you're trapped. The trap is broken. Because Jesus already broke it. But the enemy is a deceiver. He's a liar. You think you're trapped, no matter what it is that you think you're trapped in. You know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, not knowing how to do money. That's a trap, isn't it? Not even knowing how to handle money. That's a trap. Thinking that your marriage is lost. That's a trap. Because the enemy always gets you to believe something that is impossible to get out of. But God says the trap is broken. And not only that, you were escaped. The trap is broken and you're out of there. I don't know what trap you're in. I've had a few. Most of the traps are right here. Amen? And you're just mourning, crying, blubbering, you know. So instead of mourning and crying and blubbering, start saying what God says. The trap's broken. I'm escaped. The trap is broken and I'm escaped. God is giving me great wisdom. God's giving me great deliverance. God's giving me great peace. I have peace. The enemy says, no, you don't. Look at that. Look at this mess. Look at this problem. See, you're looking at the trouble. God is giving you an answer. He's giving you an answer. Rejoice. Of course, as we've always, you know, reminding each other that Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, trouble, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. And where does he live? I'm in him. The Father's in him. The Spirit's in us. We are one with him. Jesus said, I pray that, Father, that they may all be one in us as you and I are one. That was Jesus' prayer in John 17 as he was preparing to die, as he was preparing to go to the Father. And he had just spent 3 or 4 chapters, as we read, explaining to them how things were going to change. It's no longer going to be me and you and me and the buddies, you know, hanging around together. The Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to indwell you. How many know that that promise has already come to pass? The Holy Spirit has come. He's come to indwell you. He's come to live in you. And every day he is there exposing the mercy of God and the grace of God and the peace of God so that whatever circumstance you find yourself in is an opportunity for rejoicing to know that the mercy of God has already destroyed the trap. There's no trap that can trap me. There's no trap that can hold me. Because I'm free in Christ Jesus from now to eternity. There's nothing. Now, once in a while, do I get a kind of a buzz of the old of flesh, which says, you know, ow! You know, and you can hear me. You might hear me down the road. And I might, you know, holler because the enemy always knows a great place to try to get you. But I already know the answer. And I know that the trap is broken. And I'm escaped. I know I've already escaped. These psalms are great, what? Huh? It's a good thing you can sleep through the sermon. Amen. It's awesome. Amen. Hope that guy's having a good time. Hey, you know what? You can hear when you're sleeping. Praise the Lord. Hey, the snare is broken and we're escaped. Our soul. You know, it's important to know is your soul's escaped. What's your soul? Soul's the part of you that was raised in this world and figured out, well, here's how you get out of that problem. Because it's not born of the soul, it's not born of the spirit. The spirit is born of the spirit. The soul has come up with an understanding of, let's see, how were we supposed to get rid of that? You listen to the news, you listen to mom and dad, you listen to Al Capone, and you figure out pretty much how to, you know, get out of problems, you know. You know how to get out of problems because you have listened to the world. You know, and I love your mom and dad. They're great and all that. But they were raised in the world too. And they know when you get punched, well, here's what you do. You punch back. Glory to God. They didn't tell you the other guy had a knife. Huh? You know, it may not be the wisest thing to do. But God will give you wisdom, Norma. Then you could live 91 years. Praise the Lord. Be awesome. Maybe probably make 92. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Norma doesn't mind. She's proud of that. She told us she's eligible to have children now. Sarah, 90. Read your Bible.
What's he talking about?
And these are the Christians. Glory to God. Psalm 125 says, they that trust in the Lord. Listen, who's that? They that trust in the Lord, who's that? Thank you. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. They that trust in the Lord. What are you kind of waiting to find out what it's supposed to be before you assent to it, you know? Shall be as Mount Zion, the home of God, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from hereafter even forever. So those that trust in the Lord are fixed. Can't be moved. Can't be shaken. Now again, make the separation between your soul and your spirit like Hebrews does. You know, is that what divides between the soul and the spirit? Anybody remember? What makes the division? What shows up the division? The Word of God. Because it's alive and powerful. And it's two-edged. And it divides between your soul and your spirit. How does it do that? Well, certainly not because you can understand everything you're reading. But it's because you do have a spirit on the inside of you that's born of God and the Holy Spirit begins to show you things. When Paul was the greatest student of Israel law, certainly of his day. He studied under the greatest teachers. He was the best of the best. That kid was awesome. Yet when the Holy Spirit touched that understanding, that wisdom, that knowledge, what happened? What happened? Well, what happened was about the last half of your Bible. He knew this part, but God showed him this part. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the law. But then God revealed to him the mystery hidden from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament coming to demonstrate his love for his people. And that the promise of God through Abraham is to be realized in you. And that promise is joy unspeakable and full of glory every single morning. Amen? That's not just silly joy, just kicking up your heels, but it's the power of God to transform the entire world because you're born of God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit and the living God and Jesus Christ live on the inside of you to transform everybody that you meet, to transform your world. And not me. Of course you. Who else has he got? Amen? Who else has he got? I mean, he's not, you know, well, he's got the pastors. Not enough of them. And we don't know enough people. You know everybody. You know everybody. And everybody knows you. Well, I don't know anybody. You're lying. You know, you know the people you run into every day. That's it. That's the only people. You may be the only believer that they know. You probably are. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of cultural Christianity, but we don't have a lot of believers. We have a lot of depressed people. We don't have a lot of believers. Amen? How depressed are you? I mean, because of all your circumstances and all the things that go by. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Meditating on God's promise and not upon your problem is the key to victory. The daily living and daily victory. Amen? God didn't want you in sitting like anybody know about Pastor Jim's seven chairs, right? Chair number two. That's the one most people get stuck in because they think God's trying to get them to do something. So they get stuck and they can't continue. They get stuck just, you know, in a hole and they can't get out of it. Trying to perform, trying to look good, trying to be good for God, and then the enemy comes in and says, well, you didn't do it. Because the Word of God says they didn't do it. You know, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the law came for one reason. What did it come for? To expose the fact that you couldn't do it. That's what the law came for. And then Jesus came to say, hey, I fulfilled all of the law. Trust in me. Trust in the blood that I shed for you has taken care of all that. And now you are invited to come into the marriage supper of the Lamb. The free gift is the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And then he comes to live in you and dwell in you and transform you into his image. That's what he does. And for you to meditate on that, listen, is the most important thing to do. Is not to look at your performance or lack thereof, but to give thanks and rejoice for the fact that he's already done it. He's already done it. See, don't write down a list of stuff that you're supposed to do. Just get into the presence of God. What does that mean? Just wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. He'll get rid of all your sin. He'll do that part. That's the part he likes. He likes getting in there and just delivering you from all of your sin. Because all of your sin, as we're going to find out here in a minute, all your sin is not trusting him. You trust yourself more than you trust him. You trust your own juices to take care of things instead of him. Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again our captivity, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. In the Bible, them that dream are those that are restored and strengthened. You didn't dream if you're like depressed and starved, but you dreamed when you had been fully restored, beginning to dream again. Not just like you and I talk about, you know, what's your dream, brother. But even to sleep, to have those dreams, just be restored and strengthened and have fullness. So when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, that is, they came back out of captivity from Babylon and from Persia into the city to rebuild the city, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. They began to see, the heathen began to see the joy of the Lord in the people of God. They began to see the joy of the Lord in the people of God because they saw them, that they were strengthened. They saw them, that they had hope again. Do you have hope? Do you have hope today? I have hope today for absolutely no good reason. In fact, there's a lot of stuff that I probably shouldn't have hope for because of. And you've got your own share of those things, don't you? You're thinking of five of them. You're thinking of them right now. You're meditating on the reason that you should not have hope rather than on the promise that says that is fulfilled with the blood of Jesus that says hope belongs to you. Hope is yours. Hope is yours. So I just believe that God, for no good reason, I have a great opportunity to believe something else. Don't you? I have a great opportunity every day to believe something else because of everything that happens in the world. Everything that happens in my world. I can have a great opportunity to say, you know what? Chuck it. You know, I'm not, yeah. But I've been there and I've done that. And you know what? There's no fun. There's no fun in that. There's no peace in that. But I'm fully at peace and I'm fully, well, yeah, brother, just wait until this happens. It's pretty much happened. I mean, I know you've had yours, but I've had mine. Amen? Yoo-hoo! That's exciting. And all I want you to do is learn how to open your mouth and give praise and rejoicing to God. Begin to do it in the middle of your trouble. In the middle of your trouble. Job said it in chapter 23. He didn't get the vision and the full revelation until chapter 42, but he knew this. He said in chapter 23 of Job, he says, he knows the way that I take. See, this is when his friends are trying to figure out what his sins are. They're on his case. Okay, brother, you've done something for all this stuff to come on you. Well, Jesus said that. He said, in the world you have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, why did all that happen to Job? There's trouble in this world, isn't there? Amen? Just don't get God to tell your enemy you're a perfect man. You remember the beginning of Job? Hey, Mr. Devil, have you considered my servant, talking to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? I can picture Job sitting over here listening to the conversation. Have you considered my servant Job? A perfect man, none like him in the earth, best thing I've ever had. And Job's over there going, don't point me out. Don't say that. So, I mean, God right there already told you those three guys were full of baloney, right? You know? All those guys, those three guys, Bildad, the shortest guy of the Bible, Bildad the Shuhite, you know? I relate to that guy. And, all of his buddies, Eliphaz and those guys. And they were all trying to figure out what God did, what the guy did wrong. Some of y'all are just now getting that. So they're trying to figure out what the guy did wrong. Well, what did God say at the very beginning? Have you considered my servant Job a righteous man, a perfect man? Those guys didn't read the Bible. You know, it wasn't Job's sin, was it? It wasn't Job's sin that all that stuff came upon him. God wanted to perfect him. God was in the middle of it going to perfect him. How many know God loves to perfect you? You know why? So you know the fullness of his glory. What happened at the end? He found he found out the fullness of his glory. He found out things about God he never knew. You know, that's what you're doing every day. through your trouble, that's what you're doing every day. Through everything that's going on, you're learning things you would never learn about the provision and the love of God. So as you go through your daily thing, I want you to rejoice. I want you to choose to rejoice. I mean, grumbling isn't doing you any good anyway. It's not helping. It's just depressing you. Amen? You're just kind of building on your own depression. Here's what you do. You begin to rejoice. Some trouble comes. Thank you, Father. I just rejoice that you love me and you're completing me in every way. You love me and your joy is being demonstrated in me. And I am a demonstration to the world of your love and your peace. Now quit trying to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Just let God do what He wants to do on the inside of you. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Are you going to build your house? Are you going to fix your problem? Nope. I remember I used to try to fix problems. When I was a kid, I just tried to take things apart. I found out I wasn't a mechanic. Good thing I'm not your mechanic. I ain't no good at that. I ruined more of my favorite toys taking them apart and never being able to get them back together. It was a disaster. Amen? That was fun until, oops. Or I thought I was going to make it. I thought I was going to be able to fix my own problems. Now, God will give you wisdom, but for you to depend upon yourself is foolishness and foolhardy. Is that because God loves you and He will give you wisdom? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep it, the watchman watches in vain. So you being a builder and you being the security man, just somehow or another, it's just not working. You don't have enough eyes. God's got more angels than you got, you know, money to pay for security. It's vain for you to rise up early and sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows and worry, because He gives His beloved sleep. And today, let's look at Psalm 128. The reason I'm bringing you through those is I just want you to, in a quick run through, just give you an idea of what these psalms are doing. They're breaking down the idea that you're providing for yourself. And they're building up the idea that your dependence and your provision is all from the Lord. My provision is all from Him. Doesn't matter what's going on, my provision is all from Him. So I want you to rejoice. I want you to give thanks, and I want you to rejoice daily. Why? Because happy is he, verse 1, Psalm 127, 8, Psalm 128. Happy is he that fears the Lord and that walks in His ways. The word blessed means happy is he. Happy are you if you fear. What? Happy are you if you fear the Lord. When you're raised up and trained up, your parents tell you to do something or not to do something. Why is that? Generally, is because to protect you. People look at things and circumstances and they tie it to their bad behavior before the Lord, especially Christians. They tie it to their bad, well, you know, God's judging me. I want to help you. The judgment of God is already in the earth. It's built in. God said that in the very beginning at the tree. He said, thou shalt not eat of it, and then surely in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely. Now, what was the promise of death based on? You doing what God told you not to do. Result a matter of God destroying you, or a matter of you deciding to go against what He told you? Don't cross the street. Stay on your side of the yard. Doot, 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 doot. Walk across the street. Boom. My parents killed me. No. You did what they told you not to do. Why did they tell you not to do that? So that wouldn't happen. Then, of course, you know, Adam, being a good husband, yeah, I mean, he wanted to help God out, you know. So he added what the Jews called a fence law. That's to keep you from the real thing. You remember that one? God said, don't eat it or you'll die. Then all of a sudden you hear Eve talking to the serpent. You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it. Well, who told her that? I'm betting on Adam. Honey, don't eat it and don't touch it. He just added a little bit extra just, you know, on his own just to make sure that she didn't. She'd done it anyway. And then she'd give it to him and he done it. She must have been pretty. Here, honey, have one of these. Okay. Duh. How many know men are stupid? Praise the Lord. How many know women are stupid? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at least we're all on the same page. Praise the Lord. Anybody here just get married? Amazing how I know these things. Just remember that. Men and women, both stupid. Praise the Lord. Amen. I always like to find somebody I can give a gift to. Amen. Happy is everyone that fears the Lord. Why do you fear the Lord? You fear the Lord because He's right. And He knows more than you do. And so you do what He say. Now you don't do what He say because you're trying to please the guy because you love him. Yeah, and you want him to. But you're not trying to please him in the sense that, you know, if I don't please him, he's going to get me. Do you understand? He's not trying to look for a way to trick you. See, so many people think God makes these laws and then tries to trick us so He can get us because that's His fun. Creepy idea. You guys got a creepy God. My God loves me. And He says, do what I tell you to do so that you'll be protected and cared for. God's not around waiting for you. I mean, God's not playing whack-a-mole. Anybody know what that is? Whack-a-mole. So you have this thing, and the mole pops up through the hole, and you're trying to get him. You know, you're trying to whack him. You know, people think that's God. You know, you stick your head up through the hole, and God's out there trying to get you if He can. You know, but you're so fast and you're so good, you kind of get away. I'm serious. I'm weird, but that's what I think people think about God. I mean, because if He wanted to get you, couldn't He just get you? But you're like dancing around, you know. You're hoping God doesn't find you today because you've been doing your thing. You know, God really doesn't care about you doing your thing except that He wants you to hear Him so that you'll be free. So that you'll know that the trap is broken and that you're escaped and that you don't have to make up your own rules. God's already made provision for you. He loves you. He's absolutely provided for you in everything. There's nothing. He said, how shall He not with Jesus also freely give us? Thank you. All things. How shall He not with Him? That is, once I'm in the door, once I'm in through faith, how shall He not also freely give me all things? He's already given it to me. He's given me everything, Ephesians says, that pertains to life and godliness. He's given me all spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Everything begins from the Spirit. Every blessing begins from the Spirit. Because you're born from heaven. You're born again of His Spirit. And that Spirit creates in you every blessing. It begins in the heart. Begins in the spirit, carries out to your soul and just gets rid of all your garbage. You're renewing your mind according to the Scriptures that you might demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You're growing in grace. You're growing from grace to grace, from faith to faith, from glory to glory by looking into the perfect law of liberty. Turn over quickly to what? Turn over quickly. I'm telling you what. Can y'all do the Carol Burnett song? I'm so glad we had this time together. Yeah. All right. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, Romans chapter 5. Hope y'all are having fun. I mean, Pastor Jim's down in Baton Rouge. He's having a great time. Y'all ought to have a good time too. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. And we told you, I told you that he said that how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, okay, we've got that far, we have peace with God. That means God's no longer your enemy. Well, that was good news for some of you. Some of you kind of knew that, but some of you, that's brand new. God's not your enemy. He likes you. He does. Come on down here. Let me give you a hug. No, I'm just kidding. God likes you. He likes you. He loves you. He thinks you're great. Once you've received Jesus, he thought you were wonderful anyway. That's why he paid what he paid for you. And then he says, come on down. Get everything. Don't just get this thing of, you know, okay, now we got Jesus. We're going to go to heaven one day, but now we got to keep it up and keep this thing rolling. You can't keep it rolling. You have no capacity. Right, Joyce? You have no capacity to keep this thing going. You have to stay with Jesus the whole way. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, Jesus, also, everybody say also, everybody say this, we have access. Oh, does everybody like access? I don't mean the program, you know. I like getting in. I like having the password. I like having access. I like being able to get in, and I can get into everywhere. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So you are now standing in the grace of God, which is His power, His mercy, His full provision for those who have trusted Christ. And you even had grace to believe. His grace was what opened the door for you to believe. He wanted you in. Yeah, not me. No, you. How many said not me? No, you. Especially you. Especially you who said not me. I want you to know, listener, you qualify. You absolutely qualify for the love of God and the grace of God right this minute now. Forget everything else that's in your mind. Forget everything else, every excuse that's coming to your brain to say that I haven't measured up. Of course you haven't. That's the source of the promise, is your lack of measure up. I just hope you'll know, everybody, today that God wants every single one of you to rest and to walk right into the kingdom of heaven with thanksgiving and quit looking at your missteps and your reasons for not going. Well, I don't know if I believe in God. Fine. Accept the promise anyway. Forget whether you believe in God or not. Accept the promise. Oh, well, that sounds crazy, brother. No, what I'm telling you to do is forget all of your provision for the flesh. How many know you're going to die? I mean, is that guaranteed? Some of y'all are in delusion. Well, we'll just wait and see. Yeah, but that body's going, you know. What I'm saying to you is, you living in this world, this body's going to go away. Amen? How many of your great-great-great-grand... Your great-great-great-grandfather is still living. You're still looking at him. Still writing him letters. Why not? He's dead. I mean, the great, great, great one. I mean, the one from a long time ago, not the one you know. Everybody dies. Abraham's dead. David's dead. God told Joshua? Moses, my servant, is dead. Go ye therefore. Fact is, you're going to die. Here's your one greatest opportunity to receive the Lord, is you're going to die. And you don't know what's happening afterward. But I do. I know it because I read this book. And this book has withstood the test of time. This book and its promises and its wisdom is the greatest wisdom and history book in the world. This is where all promises come from. This is where all wisdom resides. And you know what? You're going to die. And if you die without Jesus, you're stupid. If you die with Buddha, now somebody's going to shoot me now. I mean, you can't prove that. Living a good life is not going to help you. The only God that helps you is the one who forgave your sin and says, come to me, and I'll do it for you. How many other faiths have that? None. The others are all, here's what you got to do. Here's ours. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Really? That's it? Yeah, that's it. Does anybody want to get saved today? I mean, it's easy. Say, Jesus, I believe in your promise and that you shed your blood on the cross. You took all of my sin away. You paid for all of my sin, and now you have received me into the presence of the Father in heaven, and I'm going to live forever with you. I mean, why make something else up? Why make up your own religion? Why not get the one that from the God of heaven? I mean, you could choose to blow it off, but I wouldn't. You don't have to perform. That's why I'm helping you. Right? You don't have to perform. Let him do it. You don't want to change your life. It's your problem. You don't want to change what you're doing. Good, don't. Don't change what you're doing. Boy, some Christians get upset by that. Don't change what you're doing. Just have faith in God and read his word, and guess what? You know, Robert used to talk about that. Robert McWeary used to talk about that. He was a communist. He was a black communist in Rhodesia back during the time of, what was that guy's name? Ian Smith. Everybody's name Smith. Ian Smith was the white guy head of Rhodesia. It was a British colony. And Robert was a communist. His dad was the king. They had kings in those days. He was the king of the tribes in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And the typical story of the guy who's going to read the Bible and find out all the mistakes. What happens to that guy? Oops! He met God on the way and he received Jesus because Jesus spoke to him. It's like Paul on the road. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Well, who are you? I'm just persecuting this Jesus guy. I'm Jesus. Uh-oh. You're him? Well, I thought you was just a crazy guy. No, I'm the real deal. I got plenty for you to do. Okay. Talk me into it. I'm telling you, there's only one way to go, and that's to Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you. So today, right now, there's no other choice for you. I mean, if you want to die and find out later, I wouldn't recommend it. You want to be in. You want to come in. Amen? It's good to have access, isn't it? It's good to have access. Finish up Psalm 128. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. happy shall you be. And it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, and your children like olive plants round about your table. Must be good. You know, some of those olive plants are still alive, the ones that were there when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're still there. That's your children. Those dudes, man, they're hardy. They're hardy. They're still bearing fruit. Your children shall be like olive plants. Wow. You mean your children will bear fruit and bear fruit and bear fruit and bear fruit and bear fruit from generation to generation to generation to generation? It's God's desire that you bear fruit and your fruit remain, fruit that remains. You know what fruit that remains is? It's the gospel. It just keeps going from generation to generation. Whether it's your family or whether it's the people that you have had as sons and daughters in the Lord. How many know you do that? You have sons and daughters in the Lord whom you propagate and whom you build up. It's not the pastors, my goodness. Pastors are just you know, helping you to produce more. Shepherds don't produce sheep. How many know that? How long does that take to sink in? That would be weird. Shepherds do not produce sheep. They just provide an environment so that sheep can do the thing. Sheep can produce sheep. Amen? They just provide an environment, a safe environment, keeping out the wolves, right? So, you know, our job is just to keep the wolves out. But then on the other hand, I'm a sheep by myself. I'm a sheep. Maybe among you, I'm a pastor, but before God and among you, I'm just a sheep like you. So I have to tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen? It's just a job. It's just a function. Amen? Behold, that thus shall the man be that fears the Lord. The man that fears the Lord is going to be like this. Going to be just like he spoke. Is that you shall eat the labor of your hands, happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. That for who? Everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Walking in his ways, what's that? It's just hearing the Lord, reading his word, hearing the Lord by the Spirit. Amen? There are certain things in the Word that you know to do. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's just the command of the Lord. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's most of you, that's pretty good loving. Amen? Now, some of you will say, you know, I hate myself. No, you don't. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. The Bible says. So that's why you hate yourself. You don't like your situation, so you want to kill yourself so that you can be out of pain. You actually do love yourself. I love myself so much, I'm going to kill myself so I can get out of this. But God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to get rid of all that fear, because you're dependent upon the world. The reason you hate yourself is you look at yourself through the eyes of the world. You do not look at yourself through the eyes of Jesus. You do not look at yourself through the eyes of the Father. It is not God that hates you. It is not Jesus that loves you. It's the Father himself who loves you. Finish up. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, where he lives. And you shall see good, the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, you shall see your children's children and peace upon Israel. I want you to give up all of your trust in this world just by faith. You're doing this by faith. You're talking. And trust only in the Lord. Blessed is he that fears the Lord. Blessed is he that fears the Lord. Blessed is he that fears the Lord. That fears the Lord in the way that not like, oh God, no, he's coming. He's coming to get me. No, not that fear. That fear is, I have trust in his admonition. I fear the Lord in that I do what he says above what even I think. Because that's where my joy is. That's where my health is. That's where my peace is. Amen. This is your joy, is to fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Father, we just worship You. Father, we rejoice in You. We give You praise and thanks and glory and honor. Thank You today for ministering to each one that to fear You and to walk in Your ways is to hear You and to know Your love for me. So, Father, we give You praise and rejoice and give You thanks. Father, that anyone who would desire to know the Lord Jesus today and say, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your provision. And I thank You that You have loved me, that You shed Your blood for me. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me to pay for all of my sins. Just do that today. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you will demonstrate everything that He did in you will come to pass in your mind, your will, and your body. He empowers you by the Holy Spirit. And we give You praise, Father, for all of Your provision for us. Father, I thank You that You minister this word to each one today so that each one has joy and forsakes his or her own strength to try to please You, because You are pleased by faith alone, and that we would fear You. Those who are led by the sons, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we give You praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have not come to a desert mountain, but You have come to the living God. You have come to the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have come to the judge of the ages, and to Jesus and to His blood. You have come to the church of the firstborn and to the righteous one. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.